Welcome to What Do You Want to Know, the podcast that tries to answer your questions. My name is Jenny and I'll be your host. I have a little bit of housekeeping before we start. First of all, I really hope you've been enjoying the series so far. Did you know that we have a suggestion box where you can tell us what you'd like to hear on future episodes? We're always on the lookout for more suggestions and would really love to hear from you. And it can be about anything at all. It can be science, literature, technology, history, religion, or medicine. If you can think about it, we can try and find someone to talk about it. If you go to tcd.ie/research/researchmatters, you'll find our podcast page, along with a suggestion box and links to all of our previous episodes. I'm sure there's something you've always wanted to know a little bit more about, so send me your questions and I'll try to find someone really clever to answer them. Secondly, keep an eye out for a new event called START, or Start Talking About Research Today. START is part of European Researchers Night, which takes place every year and is kind of like culture night for research in universities. It's all about opening up the doors of universities to people of all ages and showing you what research looks like and how it works and giving you a chance to get involved. This year, it takes place on November 27th and we'll be running loads of different events on the night itself and in the weeks and months leading up to it. Some of them will be live, some might be in person if we're lucky enough to be allowed into the same room by then, and we'll have lots of online stuff going on as well. Check in with tcd.ie/research for updates and to see what kind of events and activities we have planned and how you can get involved. Right, on with the business of this episode, 5G. What even is it? Are you like me and you only just realised that the G stands for generation? How does 5G work? What's a network and how do they work? What makes 5G better than all the other Gs? And what's up with all those conspiracy theories? I asked Linda Doyle to help me answer these questions. Linda is a professor of engineering and the arts at Trinity College Dublin, where she is currently the Dean of Research. Her expertise is in the fields of wireless communications, cognitive radio, reconfigurable networks, spectrum management, and creative arts practices. Linda was the founding director of the SFI Research Centre Connect, which is focused on telecommunications. She is a member of the National Broadband Steering Committee in Ireland and is chair of the Ofcom Spectrum Advisory Board in the UK. Linda is also a judge at the BT Young Scientist Exhibition every year, and most important of all, she's my boss. I began by asking her, what is 5G?
So 5G is the new generation of wireless technology. So in the telecommunications world, we talk about the fifth generation technology standard for mobile networks.
This has literally just hit me. The G actually stands for generation.
Yes, G is generation, yeah.
So you mentioned networks there, so we should probably talk about networks before we go into what 5G actually is. So what is a network, first of all?
So I suppose maybe the best way to describe that to you, so if you have a network of friends, they're a group of people who all talk to each other and are in contact with each other. So a network is a group of devices that all talk to each other and are in contact with each other and communicate with each other. And those devices can be computers, or those devices can be mobile phones, or those devices can be anything with the ability to communicate. Mm-hmm. And the networks can be made up of, those devices can be connected to each other by cables and wires. So it's a wired network. Those devices can be connected to each other wirelessly. So it's a wireless network. Mm-hmm. And those devices can be moving around and wireless, and it's a mobile wireless network.
So what's a mobile phone network then? How do our phones work?
The best way to describe it is to, I suppose, start with your phone and explain maybe how your phone communicates, and mm-hmm. then talk a little bit about the network. So an important thing to say is that when telecommunication engineers talk about phones, they describe them as radios. And a lot of people a lot of people are totally surprised when they use the word radio.
Okay.
So a radio is any device that communicates using radio waves. So it either transmits radio waves or receives radio waves. So your radio that you might, like, very few people now probably have radios that receive radio waves over the air and listen to RT Radio 1, but that's a radio. Okay. It's just a receiver. It only receives. And your television is a radio. You know, again, very few people probably have televisions that receive signals over the air, but a television like that is a radio. And what your mobile phone is a radio that both transmits and receives. So it transmits radio signals and it receives radio signals.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So your mobile phone network is completely based in this. So when you're walking around the city or the countryside, you'll probably see cell towers or masts. And on these things are something that we call a base station. So when you make a phone call, if you actually use your phone to make a phone call,
it'll send you're out radio. Dating yourself there.
Exactly. It'll send out a radio signal that will go to the nearest base station. And then the message that gets there will be transmitted into the core of the network, back out to the base station that's near the person that you're ringing, and that radio signal will be transmitted to their phone then.
So my phone is a radio?
Yes, your phone is a radio.
I learn something new every day. Okay.
That's true. Right.
So let's go back to 5G then. How is 5G different to, say, 4G and all of the other Gs that we've ever heard of?
So these generations, they kind of build on each other, but they're different. So maybe it's worth saying that 1G was an analog system. And we actually didn't call it 1G at the time. It was only when 2G existed. I think it's kind of like a queen or king who's the second. They're not, mm-hmm. You know, the first one isn't called the first at the beginning.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like that. So 2G was the digital generation, and from then on everything was digital. So what they do is they all build on each other, but they all kind of have distinctive features. So 2G was the first time we had text messaging and we had many of the digital features in the phone. And then 3G was when data began to matter more than voice. Okay. And then 4G was really the era of the smartphone with loads and loads of videos and a hugely increased focus on data. So 5G sits on top of that and offers the user more. Okay, so I'll try and explain what the more is. So there's two ways of talking about the more. There's the way that you might talk about it kind of generally to the users, and then there's the way engineers might talk about it, and I'll go through both of those.
Mm-hmm.
So basically when you say 5G gives you more, the first thing it gives you is faster, you know, just everything's faster, and you can download and upload stuff faster, and you can download and upload more of it, so it's greater bandwidth. Okay. That's the first way people talk about 5G. The second way they talk about it is they move away from talking about just the phone and the mobile network, whereas they talk about all of the things, all of the applications and services that can be enabled by 5G. So they talk about connected cars, or smart agriculture, or smart cities, or remote surgery. And they say 5G can help all of these things happen.
Mm.
Okay, so that's the second way. And then the third way they talk about it is that it doesn't have a delay. So this might seem like a strange thing to somebody who doesn't come from this. So basically in your network, your phone network, there's always a slight delay.
Mm-hmm.
You might notice it. You know, if you ever see people interviewing people over a satellite network on TV, you can see the delay, right?
Yeah.
So they're imperceptible delays that we have. And they don't matter when we're talking like this, but they would matter if you were not driving a connected car, or if you were doing remote surgery. Like if you were doing remote surgery, you need to feel as if it's real. Like if there's any little, so this is called, so the latency in the system they talk about, then 5G is also about removing that. So you can do these wonderful kind of things.
Okay.
So the faster, fatter broadband, the whole range of new applications and services, the smart connected car, smart agriculture, and this what we call mission critical services, this low latency, are the features of 5G.
Okay. So is it actually up and running in Ireland yet?
Yes. So the way when new technologies come on board, mobile operators try them out in certain areas first. So there will be spots in Ireland that you actually can go to. And now I haven't experienced it myself, and I don't have a 5G phone, but there are areas in Ireland where you can get some 5G coverage.
So I'm not due an upgrade on my phone yet, but will I need a new phone?
you will need a new phone. And let me explain why that's the case there. And this, I suppose, goes into some of the more technical parts of it. So I said to you earlier that your phone is a radio. Mm-hmm. Okay? In fact, your phone is multiple radios. So you have a radio in your phone that does your Wi-Fi connection. You have a radio on your phone for your 3G connection. You have a radio on your phone for your 2G connection. You have a radio on your phone for your 4G connection, saying those in random order. So there are loads of different radios in your phone. It just is seamless to you as to which one you're connected to. And what's different about all those radios is two key things. So the first thing that's different, they work on different frequencies. So just like if you're on an old-fashioned kind of radio and listening to, you know, RT Radio 1 or 2 FM, and you tune in, those radios tune into the frequencies that you know, your phone operates on. So 5G operates on different frequencies.
Okay.
But because it operates on different frequencies, you need a new radio put into your phone. Therefore, you need a new phone. So it's not a software update or anything like that. Okay. You need a new phone that has that in it. Mm-hmm. And not alone does that operate on different frequencies, it has the kind of technology, it's advanced from a technological perspective, and it's clever in the way that the radio itself operates, and it kind of embraces a whole load of new technology, so you need it for that reason as well. So it's actually, funnily enough, it's called 5G New Radio. It's what it's called, 5GNR.
When new things like this come along, there's, you know, the rollout of it is kind of, you can see it kind of rolling across the country or something. So why does it take longer for, say, new generations of mobile networks to get to reach rural areas or places that maybe aren't as built up?
So the reason why it starts in cities or in urban areas is because it's really, really expensive to roll out new communications technologies. And they actually have to begin where the market is better. So it's very, very costly. And if you're in an area where there are more customers, it makes sense for you to start in an area where there's more customers and you can recoup the costs.
Okay.
So therefore, in rural areas where there are very few customers, things tend to get there later.
Okay.
So it's only when the technology has become very prevalent, when the costs have been kind of reduced. And in some cases, in some rural areas, it'll never be worthwhile. And you find that they struggle to get those technologies there. And they may only get there eventually through some intervention of government or something.
Okay.
So that's kind of how it happens. It's all really to do with the costs of the technology.
Right. And that's kind of where the digital divide that we would have heard a lot about with everyone working from home now has kind of come from a little bit.
Yes. And I suppose the other thing as well is that different technologies are, so as you might expect, as the technologies get newer, they are more expensive. But 5G has another kind of level of expense associated with it. So a mobile network, another name for a mobile network is a cellular network. Are you familiar with those two terms?
I've heard them both, yeah.
Yeah, and it's actually quite interesting from a historic point of view. The word mobile network is used in Europe and the word cellular network is used in the US. And the reason for that is that we kind of, when mobile networks first emerged, the mobility was the major feature that we emphasized. And in the US, the cellular nature was the major feature that stuck in their mind, because actually the coverage wasn't so great that the mobility was brilliant at the time. So they're all cellular networks. And what a cellular network means is that everything is divided up like kind of a honeycomb. You know, there's all these little cells, and in each of these cells, there's a base station, and the base station supposedly covers the whole area of the cell. So if you're within that cell, you get coverage.
Mm-hmm.
So one way of making more bandwidth available, a bigger, fatter bandwidth, is to have more cells. So they're smaller cells and there's more of them. And there's a whole load of technological reasons why that's the case. So if you have smaller cells, you need more base stations. And 5G has certain features where the cells have to be small and they need more base stations. So it's more expensive still, because there's more equipment needed and more things that have to be rolled out.
Mm.
And with 5G, we'll see these base stations not just on big towers that you might be used to, but you'll also see them on lampposts or sides of buildings or bus shelters, because some of the cells will be quite small.
Right, okay. So something that I've heard people mention a good bit whenever I've read up about 5G, or, I mean, insofar as I have read up about 5G, I keep hearing people say the Internet of Things. And I have no idea what that means. So what is it?
So that's a great question. So, you know, earlier when you were asking me what 5G was, and I gave you a number of different things, and I said to you that people think about 5G as faster, fatter broadband, but they also think about it in terms of all the services and applications it can enable. And I talked about connected cars and precision agriculture and smart cities. So sometimes we talk about their massive Internet of Things. So that's why 5G enables the massive Internet of Things. So it's not even just the Internet of Things, Jenny, it's massive IoT. So the Internet of Things is basically about connecting every single thing you can think of in the world to the Internet for the purposes of gathering data about that thing. That's what it means in a nutshell. So let me break that down a bit. So yeah. I can have I often use this example in some of the talks I've given. Just say I have a chair and I want to connect the chair to the Internet. So I need two things in the chair. I need to put some kind of data gathering device, a sensor, right? That's what it, and I need to put a radio because the radio is the thing that it communicates. Mm-hmm. So it's now on the network. It's on, you know, it's connected. So the sensor might be a pressure sensor and it can tell me whether somebody is sitting in the chair or not. So I'm able to remotely figure out if somebody's sitting in the chair or not.
Okay.
So the next question is, why would I want to do that?
Yeah.
So, and I've purposely picked a very simplistic example because I think it goes to the heart of it rather than the usual example people give is that your fridge is connected to the Internet and that's an Internet of Things. So you're sitting in the chair. So you want to know, is the chair empty or not? So there may be no good reason to do this, or there might be a great reason to do it. So for argument's sake, I could have an auditorium with sensors in each chair and I allow free seating in there and I'm able to tell automatically how many seats are empty and how many more people can be left into the auditorium without mm-hmm. having to count, you know, the number of people going in or what, having to care where they sit. So that's one example. You also might want to know it because you might want to count how many times someone sat in the chair. And you might think you might have some health and safety thing. And you say, after someone sat in a chair 150 times, it needs to be, you know, checked or something.
New cushion.
Yes, a new cushion. So the reason why I use the kind of fairly glib chair example is because the Internet of Things is about, you know, connecting everything, whether it's a chair or whether it's a cow or whether it's, you know, a car or a traffic light to the Internet for the purposes of gathering data and making meaning from that data in order to take some decision. And really the Internet of Things is as good as the meaning you make and the decisions you make. The technology just allows you to connect things in. So 5G has at its heart a real focus of using the Internet of Things in different industry sectors for the purposes of supposedly, or you can argue yes or no, improving that sector. So the Internet of Things comes into account in precision agriculture. So you might have all of your cows connected to a sensor. In fact, there are sensors that exist that connect to the tail of a cow. And depending on how much the tail of the cow is wagging or something, you know how near the cow is about to give birth to a calf. So you can be sent a message to remind you or to tell you that the birthing is about to happen.
Check on Daisy.
Yeah, exactly. Or the Internet of Things, that you can be connected to check whether gates are opened or closed, or you can use it in tractors and, you know, in the process of fertilizing, very precision fertilizing of fields and things, so you know exactly where you are and how much fertilizer is being put in what area. So there's all sorts of ways that you can use this connected world of things and devices in a wireless mobile network to enable you to gather data, make meaning and take decisions. And it's up to you, or it's up to the person who designs the application of how useful or clever that is. And there's both really interesting things you can do with the Internet of Things and things that you might say, I don't want that.
Yeah, it sounds like there might be kind of scope for not so great things in there as well. You know, I'm thinking in terms of surveillance and privacy and all that sort of thing. Is this one of those things where we're like, we have this great idea, and about 10 years' time we'll be like, maybe we should have slowed the roll on that a bit?
So I think all technology is like that, and I think it is really, really important that people can talk about technology so they can figure out, is that something they want or not? And that's why I think you doing this podcast is a good idea, in that people understand how things work, then they can ask questions. So mm-hmm. the answer I'm going to give you to what you just asked is a very typical academic answer. There is good and bad. It depends. It depends on the context. So for example, I often describe it like this. So you can have a smart home that is connected up, and it can be connected up purely for your own entertainment purposes. So you can walk into a room, it can know it's you, it can change the lighting to what you prefer, it can, you know, set the sound system in the way that you like it. So it's responding to you. Mm-hmm. You know, you can have a smart meter. You can know how much electricity you used, how much water you used. You can understand your carbon footprint, and you can change things and improve things. So there's lots of positive things that you can do by having the world around you instrumented, measuring things, gathering data, informing you are some entity, and they make decisions. It also makes life easy. You can be on the bus on the way home, setting your heating to turn on, or remotely turning your heating on. That's all Internet of Things type yeah. applications. But then, of course, there's the other side of it, where when you start doing that, you know, that data is gathered about your life and your pattern and what you're doing. And the question you need to know then is, how far does that data go? And if it just is kind of within your space and in your world and you're in control of it, it can be fine. But most often it isn't, because most of the ways you now pay for services, especially in the context of 5G, is through data. So mm-hmm. obviously you buy things and buy devices and buy new pieces of equipment or software. But in the main, we actually pay for stuff through data. So by revealing, you know, by sharing data, by manufacturers and service providers being able to kind of use the data, albeit anonymized, that's a kind of currency that we use. Mm-hmm. So it's very important that people are aware of that and know what's happening. And you will have people, for example, people who are very worried about things which they call surveillance capitalism, yeah. which is about making money from that kind of data that is gathered.
Yeah. We've heard tons of conspiracy theories about 5G as well. And is part of, would they be kind of springing out of that, you know, that idea that there's kind of good and bad in it. So the fact that it does have that potential for someone to take advantage of it is maybe giving people an in to create all these crazy conspiracy theories about it as well.
I think perhaps, I'm not sure that's the exact direction they're coming from. So it is always the case that when you talk about a radio, so now that you know a phone is a radio, and you talk about radio waves and something is emitting radiation, that people are cautious. So yeah. every generation of phones that come out, there will be a group of people who are afraid that radiation is bad for them. So the radio waves and phones cause non-ionizing radiation, and that is that's safer, and they also have to comply with really strict international standards. Mm-hmm. And regulators around the world will regularly measure emissions to make sure that mobile phones and masks and everything are below that. And I'm fairly happy with what happens, but people do worry about that, you know, yeah. and they worry about exposure, and they have a right to ask questions about it.
Mm-hmm.
I think what's more, I think, and I have to say, just ridiculous, is the situation where 5G has caused coronavirus. And
that, yeah, I could never get my head around that one.
Yeah. So I tried to look up myself as to where did that come from, and it's not clear. So there was some kind of talk about, like, they rolled out a 5G network in Wuhan, and the coronavirus came from Wuhan, and therefore there could be some connection. So this is complete and utter rubbish. 5G has got nothing to do with coronavirus and doesn't lower your immune system or do any of the other things that they say it does. However, some people have taken it very, very seriously. And in the UK in particular, a lot of masts have been vandalized.
Mm.
And the reality is, if you wreck a communication system, then you wreck the opportunity for someone to communicate. And they might need to communicate for many reasons, including life-saving reasons. Yeah. So the vandalism of masks is not a productive way, or the linking of coronavirus to 5G, in my opinion, makes absolutely no sense whatsoever.
Kind of way conspiracy theories work, though, isn't it?
It is. And I know with coronavirus, there is all sorts of things that happened on WhatsApp groups and, you know, through social media that were amplified by people kind of, I suppose, fearfully retransmitting them.
Yeah.
But coronavirus and 5G have got nothing to do with each other.
We finish every episode by asking our expert one question, and that is, what is your favorite thing about being a researcher?
So I would have to say, and maybe others have said this to you, it's very, very hard to pick out one favorite thing. And maybe for me, there's kind of two sides to it. There's the researcher myself and the dean of research side. So on the researcher myself, it's just kind of the freedom to pursue that curiosity, you know, and that like nothing is ever the same. No 2 days are the same. There's just a curiosity that that you just have this real liberty to just, you know, go after ideas and concepts and kind of new avenues all of the time. And it's a real privilege. So that's amazing. And then on the Dean of Research side, I mean, one of the most amazing things for me is the breadth of research that happens in Trinity. And every single time I go talk to a researcher, I get a new idea or learn something new. And it's just brilliant. And you just, you know, and I love as well the kind of joining the dots between the different things. I find that really, really satisfying. So being able to look right across a whole university at all the research happens in all its different forms and modes, you know, in kind of traditional modes and kind of creative practice modes and everything is just brilliant.
Thanks for talking to me today, Linda.
Thank you very much, Jenny.
Linda, for talking to me today, and I hope you were just as shocked as I was to learn that our phones are really radios. If you want to find out more, go to tcd.ie/research/researchmatters, where you'll be able to find a full transcript of this episode, along with some links to the things that Linda was talking about. Don't forget to send us your suggestions for episodes. Tell us what you want to know. Thanks to Tim Nerney, who composed our music, and Connor Reid and Paddy O'Leary at Headstuff, who've helped me with the production side of things. And thank you for listening. Tune in next time to find out more of what you never realized you wanted to know.